Good afternoon, and welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this second hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. They've got a great stock right now of tractors, mowers, implements, all the handheld stuff you use out in your yard in the spring. Go up and see them. They've got it all in stock and ready to go. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake. Or you can give them a call. Their phone number is 530-226-9226. Or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
Ta-da! So I don't know about anybody else, but that was like the fastest 5 minutes ever.
Yeah, we got time travel.
All of a sudden he's like, okay, 15 seconds. What? So, I don't know. It's the time change.
Yeah.
Huh? It's got to be it. Okay, back to the – so our guests are Claire Lopez and Dr. Lyle Rapacki, and we have been we've been talking about all sorts of stuff. But Bill mentioned coming back from the break that we wanted to get – go ahead, Bill.
Oh,
you've got your own lips.
Yeah,
Bill's going to use his own lips.
We were
going
to talk about the emergency last week with the Muslim threat. We never got around to that. I'd kind of like to maybe start off second hour with what was happening there and what was the real story, Claire.
Well, the impetus for talking about that topic, of course, was the beginning of Ramadan, the annual Islamic observance of a month that is touted to be for prayer and fasting, but in fact, often is much more about jihad, and that began in early March and will conclude, I think it is on the 10th of April at sundown. So we're smack in the middle of it right now, and the warnings really began to come from the top levels of our national security community here in the United States, for example. From FBI Director Christopher Wray testifying in front of Congress on more than one occasion and sounding the alarm that it was expected. They had information that led them to expect terrorist attacks during this month of Ramadan. And he cited in particular that the intelligence community feared jihadis coming across our southern border. Well, yes, it is wide open, so yes, of course they're coming across the southern border. Back a couple of months in the middle of January this year, 2024, also a group of former and now retired senior FBI officials sent a letter jointly signed by them to top leadership in Congress, and in that letter they warned about concerns of jihadi terrorism over the coming, at that point, January, over the coming months into this year of 2024 from the warning indicators and warnings that they had observed. So that you know, got all of our attention, I think. And then, of course, this all coincides with the Israeli IDF Operation Swords of Iron response to the October 7, 2023, last year, Shabbat massacre, invasion by Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad, the smaller group, from Gaza into Israel. So all of that put us on alert, and here we are.
Yeah. I also read last week there were reports of some cities were having their water systems hacked and ending up with contaminated water through software attacks. Did you hear anything about that?
Yes. Yes, indeed. What actually happened is that the U.S. government, Department of Homeland Security, I believe it was, actually sent out a warning letter to all 50 of our state governors, warning them to please take precautions because at least that element, the water supply element of our critical infrastructure, there are actually about 17 elements of our critical infrastructure. Water, of course, is one. Electricity, transportation, emergency first responder services, banking and finance, continuity of government, those are all others. Mm-hmm. But this one, water, had been hacked by cyber hackers who were identified in the warning letter to the governors as connected to the Iranian Islamic Republic of Iran.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And then that reminded me about a report that came out literally 10 years ago in 2014, a report put out by a private cybersecurity company here in the United States called Cylance, C-Y-L-A-N-C-E. The report was called Operation Cleaver, and the cover page of this report online was a menacing image of a meat cleaver being held in a hand. You can still find that report online, by the way. Operation Cleaver, put out by Cylance. But in that report, this company warned that at that time, 2014, the Islamic Republic of Iran already had the capability and was already inside of our critical infrastructures, plural, through cyber hacking. And it wasn't just ours. It was the infrastructure, critical infrastructure of many of our allies, Canada, Israel, and other Western European countries as well. That was 10 years ago. It doesn't seem like anybody really took that much to heart. And that was just, one report that I'm referring to. There are probably others, but go ahead and do a search online for Cylance, C-Y-L-A-N-C-E, the company, Operation Cleaver, and you can find a PDF report about that, particular report.
Yeah, there was, in this article I read, they said that a lot of the water providers in the country are running outdated software and have not upgraded any of their software, and it's very, very easy to go in and hack into those systems and shut down the water supply, and not just shut it down,
Leave it up and contaminate it.
And there are communities right now that are being issued bottled water because it has already happened.
I mean, they haven't taken this seriously. Now, I don't know if this is because of feared expense to have to update cybersecurity systems or, on the ground, actual, operating systems for water, for electricity against the EMP threat, for one.
Right.
And all of the others, transportation, good grief. We do have a director of the Department of Homeland of Transportation in this country, I think, last time I checked, the former mayor, I think, of a small town in Indiana, I think it was.
Yeah.
Don't make
none of these
things.
Apparently have taken, these warnings to heart, again, whether for fear of expense they don't want to go into, or for whatever reason, too much trouble. But the warnings have not been heeded across a span of critical infrastructures, and water is just one of them.
Yeah, and water, they said that the water is such an easy target right now, and it would absolutely cripple some of these bigger metropolitan areas if people couldn't get clean drinking water. And it kind of surprised me that water, of all things, is so susceptible to cyber attack.
Oh, yeah. Well,
don't you think,
go ahead.
Claire, I was going to ask you, and Bill, same, but you guys, don't you think, or maybe do you think, that one of the reasons they haven't fulfilled the threat, and Claire, I remember that report once you brought it up here, we were so vulnerable, we still are, but don't you guys think that one of the reasons the vulnerability hasn't been enacted upon is because overall America has been very strong financially, militarily, and et cetera, and we're not now. We're not seen worldwide to be that strong or even concerted. In other words, we do not have people in our government and the executive branch, but even in the legislative branch, that are putting America first. They're putting their own interests first.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, there's a certain sense of complacency that sets in when we were in a period of time when we were a lot more secure. We were a lot more perceived as deterring attacks. But with the wide open southern border of the Biden administration in the last 3+ years, that's gone.
Right.
And that may be why the threat is now, you know, so much more pronounced.
Isn't it even more further than that, Claire? Because not only the borders, there is no border, north or south, but just the overall perception worldwide America is weak, if not becoming even impotent.
I mean, our you know, credible deterrence does not exist anymore. I mean, look at what has happened, you're talking about globally, over the last 3+ years of the Biden administration.
Yeah.
There are wars every place you look breaking out. Of course, the Hamas Shabbat massacre attack against Israel. You've got the Russian invasion of Ukraine. You've got China eyeing an attack against Taiwan. You've got Middle East proxies of the Islamic Republic of Iran, proxies like Hamas, like Hezbollah, like the various Shiite militias, sometimes called Hashd-i Shaabi, operating in Iraq and the former Syria, the Houthis, to be sure. All of these on a rampage, and without really much of any credible pushback, and of course, deterrence once lost is way harder to regain, even were there the will to do so, and just to keep it in the first place.
Right. Do you think maybe one of the reasons there hasn't been a mass attack, say, or cyber hack on our water systems or the electric grid is if they did do something like that, I've always thought that would put a huge spotlight on sealing up our borders and really taking a strong stance, and they don't want the borders sealed up. So maybe they're holding back for that reason, that they figure, hey, the borders are wide open. Let's just play it out.
I mean, it's possible, but some of this, like the cyber hacking, can be done remotely. It doesn't even need a wide open border to do that. And in the case of an EMP, for example, were that to be launched by one of our, enemies, China has that capability, Russia has the capability, Iran is awfully close to probably soon having the capability, North Korea has the capability, an EMP, they don't need an open border for that either.
No, you're right.
But historically, Claire, America, if you punched America, it was known that America would come back at you instantly and with a bigger punch. I don't think the world sees us that way anymore. What are your
thoughts? Either. I agree with you. They don't.
So
people
don't
spaghetti at the moment.
Yeah. So I understand what Bill was just saying, and I'm not contradicting that. But I see the borders really, they're using that to infiltrate. I don't know if I like that word, because that's not even, they're flooding America with all of these I'm trying to be kind.
Don't be kind. They're jihadis. They're Chinese PLA jungle tigers.
Yes.
They're traffickers, human traffickers of women, of children. They are narco traffickers. All of that flooding across, as you say, flooding across that open southern border.
Yeah.
And now the northern border, too, to some extent.
I was only being kind for a second here because we're on radio.
You were just trying.
Why bother?
He was just trying it out.
And I didn't want Pat Bay to say, Lyle, you cannot ride our tractors anymore. I didn't want that. By the way, this is a side note because this is a serious topic. But, Bill, I want you to know that Pat Bay sent me a photograph of the motherboard on each of the tractors, and it's got certain buttons that say, Lyle, do not push this button.
Lyle,
really
do not push and do not give this to the Chinese.
Was it color-coded for you?
It's colored. I don't want to get into the details, but it's a little color-coded and
This is good. It sounds like a very wonderful company.
Now that we have tapped into the real purpose of this show, and the FBI is listening, they've sent me a secret message and said that we have to take a break right now so they can come in and sweep our equipment, find out what Lyle's up to. Oh my gosh, and Bill, and
it won't
be
the first time.
Yeah, who knows, right? We'll be right back. We're chatting with Lyle Rapacki and Claire Lopez, and no, keep going, you're good. Okay, so full disclosure, it probably does make us all crazy. But I think the thing that makes us crazy is we can look right at this whole thing with the border. I think that's what's making the public crazy, too, is they're looking right at it and can't make it stop. Push the button and turn our guests on.
The voting public who are responding to these surveys.
Yeah.
Number one, the border.
Yep.
Even more than the economy, which, of course, is in terrible shape as well. I think maybe that's number two or so.
But it's in trouble. See, it's all tied together, though. That's the thing.
Sure.
I mean, if your city is spending a gazillion dollars dealing with people that are committing crimes and bringing in drugs and sleeping on your streets and crimes.
Well, the handouts.
Right?
The handouts. The housing, for starters. Health care, free health care. Hospitals on the verge of going under because they can't afford to continue treating people for free who never pay anything for anything.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, Claire, let me ask you your opinion. With this being the number one issue, and I agree with you, I've seen many of the polls, why is it, this is almost a stupid question, but why is it that Biden and company are not responding to it?
Because they're ideologically wedded to it, and because they have a certain contingent of their voting, electorate that want them to focus continuing these policies. Maybe they're just, I don't know, ideologically incapable of stepping back and say, I mean, especially in March of an election year, oops, we goofed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now's probably not the best time for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So from your perspective, you guys, on the border thing, I realize we already have laws about all these things. We don't need new laws. We don't need all that. We just need them to stop preventing them from carrying out the laws. That would be handy. What do you think the fastest fix is if the administration refuses to allow, like, Border Patrol and those guys to do their job?
Vote November the 5th.
Yeah. There's no button to, you know, there's no switch to flip. No.
Well, there are plenty of buttons that could be pushed were the current administration and its appointee, you know,
yes.
various secretaries of departments of Homeland Security and otherwise, were they so inclined to push those buttons, they could shut this down within a week.
Yeah.
But
and they are the ones holding the
I mean, they don't, just
the
as you say, Aaron, exactly, they don't need any new laws. President Trump, while he was in office, did not need any more laws than he already had at his disposal to deal with border issues. Neither does this administration need any more laws. If they wanted to, they could take up in the Senate, Senator Chuck Schumer, House Bill 2 that the House of Representatives passed first thing upon taking the majority this past January, which is a bill dealing with the border crisis, if they really, really were wedded to the idea of some legislation, but they don't need it. That's the point. They don't need it. All they have to do is re-implement the policies like stay in Mexico, like Title 42, like detain and deport, like stopping the incentives, here in the United States for these illegals to come to the United States, stopping the free handouts, that is, implementing E-Verify, and prosecuting companies that do not implement E-Verify for their employees. I mean, I could go on and on, but you get the idea.
Do you think E-Verify would be just a massive deportation tool?
I think it would because, the pull factor, as it were, would be gone. When you crash our border illegally and come in here as an illegal alien, you are automatically a criminal. You violated our laws. And if then there were no benefits to be had, you would not get any food, any water, any housing, any clothing, any free cell phones, any free debit cards, no health care, no nothing, unless it were a dire emergency, an auto crash or something, your house is on fire, those kinds of emergencies aside, you would get absolutely no benefits. Your child could not enroll in a school. You would not be able to get a job anywhere. You would have no elective health care, let's say, were it not an absolute health care emergency. Put that aside. But aside from all of that, you would have absolutely zero benefits from coming here. That would lead to a great big rushing shoosh to the south across the border back again.
A rushing shoosh?
I like it.
Like a whooshing sound. You know, like the big... You know, flood coming in.
Don't
now
pretend you don't know, Lyle. You know what a swoosh is.
Yeah, going
well,
back
see,
across the border.
I was just surprised that she would use an intel word that is very sophisticated in open session like this. That just surprised me.
That was some secret squirrel stuff right there.
Well, it is. It's secret squirrel stuff, and she used it in the pod. I just was surprised. We talk like that privately all the time.
Back to the point. I'm talking about remove the pull factor that encourages illegals to come here, and not only will they stop coming here, they'll turn around and head back out.
Yeah, it'd be like pulling the plug in a bathtub. Just swoosh.
Kind of like that.
No food,
no water, no housing, no clothing. No health care, elective healthcare, nothing.
Let me follow up, and Claire, again, it's not a trap, man. I just love listening to you and talking with you over the years, and because you have a unique perspective on things. Why didn't the Congress, who has the control of the purse string, our forefathers gave the Congress, not the Senate, the Congress, complete control over the purse?
Yeah.
Why didn't they just say no? says,
well, that's
you know,
where we come back to our discussion at the beginning of the show today, don't we? And the various, you know, votes that could have been taken, amendments that could have been offered or insisted upon and weren't. And, you know, the roles of various of, you know, air quotes, leadership in Congress, especially the House representative, which does have control of those purse strings.
But it has to be passed by the Senate and signed by the president, and he's not doing that, and they're not doing that.
But at least in the House,
we already
has
did
the control of the purse strings.
Right, and the House passed H.R. 1 that would have taken care of all of this, which didn't go through the Senate and therefore never got signed.
Been sitting on the table in the Senate.
Yep.
I shouldn't say
all
on
this
the
time.
Table, not on the table.
In the drawer.
Ever since.
It's always referred to as in the drawer. So they don't operate unilaterally. The idea that they can just go forward and defund things by themselves, that doesn't, I mean, that has to go through the whole system. And for whatever reason.
And there are too many on even the R side of the aisle that have not been taking these things as seriously as we would like them to.
No, and the Senate refuses to take this stuff up. It's mind-bending that they can look at their constituents. Like, everybody is dealing with this. Everyone's state is dealing with this. What do you think like when you got the mayor of New York and you got all these people that are now like, what are you guys doing? You're killing us. We've got too many of these people, you know. That's now all coming out.
I mean, I hate
see any movement?
To think about this, or, you know, even, you know, I'm sorry that we have to speak about it, but, you know, the kind of, you know, lawless behavior.
Yeah.
You know, that we've been seeing already breaking out. The attacks on the street against the police in New York City, for example.
Mm-hmm.
The murder of the beautiful young Laken Riley, nursing student at the University of Georgia, and so many more. That's not only going to continue, I'm very sorry, it's going to increase.
Yeah, it's going to step up.
And it will be every state, just as you say, Aaron. Every state is a border state now. Because why? Because they've been bussed and flown, the illegals, all across the country.
Well, I will add that San Francisco is starting to come around now. I think the citizens there are fed up with what we're talking about, and they're making some changes. They're giving their police a little more authority.
Can you imagine that, giving police more authority?
Well, they took
it
away.
To go be police.
They were basically told to stand down when all this started. Well, now they're telling them, hey, we need to clean it up. So we'll see. You know, they have the ability to do that. They did it when they had their big summit in San Francisco. They went through, I think, in like 2 days, they cleaned up the streets. And then as soon as the summit was over, everybody moved back in. But I don't know. I saw some stories about how San Francisco was starting to come around. So who knows? There might be some hope that people will start voting some of these kooks out and get some law and order back in our country, because that's kind of the root cause.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe you know, when a certain critical mass of lawlessness is reached, and when that lawlessness, unhappily, unfortunately, reaches enough of the voting public in their own lives or close to them, it's a shame that it should take that.
Yeah,
and nobody
is.
Wants to see that, but maybe that's what has to happen.
I don't know. I always said that once it hits their pocketbook, people will start voting differently, but I was wrong there, because I mean, look at inflation and all the other stuff that's going on is thrashing people's pocketbook, and no change.
Well, echoing what you all have talked about already, there are people who ideologues that won't change no matter what. We've hit the iceberg. We're taking on water. We're up to the last. What do you call it?
Chair on the deck of the Titanic.
and they're still arguing about what's for breakfast. So I agree, there will be people like that. But we have a lot of people who are comfortably numb because it has not impacted them. Now let's go one step further, and I brought it up last week on the show. Here in northern Arizona, a northeastern section of the state, a small community, Springerville, is when Hobbs, who's, in my opinion, the illegal governor of Arizona, tried to move, I think it was 1,500, maybe 12 to 1,500 illegals into that community. The community rose up as a whole and said, hell no.
That's what it's going to take, too.
And I think that's what it's going to take. And I'm not arguing with what Claire and Bill and what everybody said here. I'm just throwing it out again. This is perplexing why more people haven't stood up already. I agree with you guys. But
well, they want a magic wand fix.
Well,
you know,
is
people,
that what they want? Just
yeah.
Something to make it all.
Yeah, people want, you know, somebody needs to go, like, you know, let's release the military. And it's like, you know,
yeah,
we have rules about that. It doesn't work like that. Like, people will demand that the members of Congress, you know, put the military on the border. And it's like, I don't know. It's a little bit like in California when people want the federal government to come and deal with the state. You're thinking, what has gone wrong now? Like, why? I mean, doesn't that just seem crazy that would look like a good alternative? But to your point, you guys, on this whole thing, we have allowed in a ton of people. We don't know who they are, a lot of them.
No.
And they are here to turn us upside down. Forget the, like, you know, crime breaking into CVS or whatever. There are a lot of dangerous people. So from a national security standpoint, I'd like to know from you guys, maybe we ought to, if he's got our songs ready, maybe we ought to take let's take our break a little, like a minute early. But when we come back, would you talk about, okay, let's say we get a new administration in. Let's say we shut the border. We still have all these people running around inside our country. What are you hearing? And from a national security standpoint, how are we going to get around that? We'll be right back.
I see walking in these woods. Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. Sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me, Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think
you know there ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay, we got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back. Like, you know, we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.
The Border Crisis, the musical. yeah. Just unbelievable, but we've let all these people in now. So from a national security standpoint, I realize we're super vulnerable, but how do we fix it? How is there a mechanism to fix that going forward?
Yep, two words. Tom Homan. Both President Trump and Tom Homan himself have publicly stated on a number of occasions that when they're back in office, and I don't know what position exactly Tom Homan will have, but certainly within or at the top of the Department of Homeland Security, they are going to begin the largest detain and deport operation this country has ever seen.
Well, it would have to be, because, I mean, how many millions have we let in, and they have five-year waiting lists to even get heard by a judge? So, yeah, it would have to be a massive deportation program.
And it would take years, I expect.
Oh, yeah.
But what they're talking about, that I've heard them say anyway, is that they would be, implementing a very close, cooperative relationship, operational relationship with local law enforcement to help them.
Mm-hmm. What I can share is that Tom Homan was on my show a couple of weeks ago. People can go on the website and look. There was two shows. We split it. One was with Representative Mark Finchem and Tom Homan talking about the border, because we were announcing at that time Border 911. Border 911 is the brand new program that's just been endorsed by President Trump last week at Mar-a-Lago. And I think I have a flyer that I'll put up, or I'll send to you, Aaron, you can put up, that's now official. It's a program that the Trump team is backing and is involved in, not just backing, but they're directly involved in what Claire just said. Mike Flynn, General Flynn, will be on my show April 10th, and what we're discussing is a follow-up to the Tom Holman show I did, which is Border 911, national security, and the threats therein from within. Again, with what Claire, so I'm in juxtaposition to what Claire's saying. The plan is to alert the nation in a way it has not been alerted. That's what Holman and Flynn are beginning to do. There's a network that's been established by Border 911. It's now beginning to take effect, and they're going to a number of states. I don't know how many. I apologize, but a number of states. And they're going to level at each state with the people who are coming to the briefings exactly what's going on and how they intend to deal with it. On April 18th here in Prescott, Arizona, Yavapai County, northern Arizona, about an hour north of Phoenix, Director Holman will be here. I have him coming, and he will be announcing to the audience the official startup of Border 911, which we did 2 weeks ago, but he's doing it again, and then he is going to be briefing the public. Now, this is the public as to what they haven't been told. After that briefing, there will be a secure briefing for law enforcement only. I'm coordinating every aspect of this, so what I'm telling you is fact-based. It's already in play. And this is the beginning of an educational program to decision-makers, key law enforcement people in each state, and the citizenry at large. And then, like I said, about a month from that one, and then April 10th, General Flynn will be on my show. But then about a month later, Mike Flynn, General Flynn, will be up here, and we're going to speak again publicly as to what are the threats, immediate threats to national security, and what steps President Trump can be taking. So for what that's worth, there's an educational component to this, not a political component, not platitudes, but a real educational component as to what's really happened, what's really going on right now, and what initial steps, not revealing all of it because you don't give your enemy or give your enemy things away, but what initial steps can be taken, much in line with what Claire just said. So I just wanted to throw that out because those are some positive steps.
Deep breath.
You guys there?
Deep breath.
Oh.
We're all just taking a deep breath.
Okay. I thought maybe I lost you.
No. You know, for people who think that, I mean, you hear this all the time. We're a nation of immigrants, and, you know, we need all these people, or we can't operate, blah, 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 blah. What would you guys say to that?
Well, they can't operate without providing the benefits and wages that will encourage Americans to take those jobs. The other way to do that, of course, or maybe complementary way in addition to do that, is something along the lines of the old Bracero program, which would bring in agricultural workers on temporary visas during times when extra labor might be needed in fields and you know, to harvest crops and so forth. But in a legal way, in a legal and a managed way, those two things, I would say.
You know, there's been a bill pending for, I'm going to say, 5 or 6 years that our representative here has put forward because he's in the ag sector that does just that. The problem is every single time it kind of comes up, then all of a sudden, it's amnesty. They're trying to do amnesty. And then it gets shut down. It's sort of like Social Security.
No.
You're not allowed to talk about it because then you want to get rid of it.
The point with the program would be these are temporary visas.
Exactly.
These are non-immigrant visas
right.
for a temporary period of work when that labor is extra needed.
Right, and that's what the bill says.
At the conclusion of that, you know, visa period, home they go.
Yeah, and that's what it says. However, because it has people coming into the country and involves visas and stuff, that's all that is read, and all the organizations that sort of bird dog that sort of stuff run out and light the public on fire and tell them, oh, my God, they're trying to do amnesty, which isn't what's happening, but the public doesn't read the legislation, so therefore the bill sort of, you know, fades into obscurity. So I guess my pitch to the public would be that at some point we have to actually look at – we're going to have conversations about these things. We can't just say if it has the word immigration in it that it's amnesty, you know. We can't just keep shutting down every discussion.
The emphasis has to be on non-immigrant visa.
Correct.
Which is limited in time and scope.
Right. And you know, the thing is, there are – and I'm not sure really this point ever gets made, that there are a lot of people who would come to this and would like to, they're sometimes doing it legally, sometimes not, but come to this country for a period of time, 3 months, 6 months, work, and then go home for the next 6 months. They don't ever want to come here. They don't want to live here. They don't want to bring their family here. They like where they live. They just come here to work. Kind of like when I was a kid, seemed like everybody in, you know, college worked the canneries in Alaska during breaks. They weren't going to move to Alaska. They just worked up there, made money, went home, went back to school.
The main point about this is that this would be a legal program.
Correct.
It would be a program that is stipulated in law. Its limits, its characteristics, its, you know, everything about it is done legally. That's the difference.
Right.
Let me ask, Lyle, maybe you can answer this question for me. These millions of illegals that came in and were given a court date, some of them are out 5-6 years from now before they're going to actually have their case heard. During that time, between now and then, does that give them legal standing to be here? Until that court date comes, which would make them exempt from any deportation?
No.
Yes, it does.
No,
it does.
Well, okay.
And they're being given work permits besides.
Well, they are given work. You're right. But it depends. What happens if they commit a crime, Claire? Are they exempt from the judicial system?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, committing crime is absolutely a non-impediment to an illegal remaining in the United States. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as getting a court date, I think they can show that paper and say, hey, you can't deport me for 5 years now.
It's longer than that. I mean, the waiting period to see an asylum hearing judge is 8 to 10 or more.
Yeah, no, you're right, Bill. You can't deport him because of that. It's pending. And Claire's right. It's more than 5 years.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Well, that's gonna cut down drastically on the mass deportation they want to do.
I think that they will be there will be legislation if that's needed to enable that detain and deport.
Let's hope so. Yeah.
Because actually, what they're doing right now. In allowing these people to come in and to stay in is illegal. So I'm not even sure that new legislation is necessary, simply the enforcement of the legislation that's already in place.
Right.
Hence, what I was saying is that is illegal, what Bill first asked us, and no, it's not legal, because it goes against federal law right now, already established, but they're circumventing federal law, and it hasn't been challenged.
They're doing things like using executive orders,
yeah.
Which, of course, are limited to the tenure of that particular president and can be overturned by the next one.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. And the hard part with that is it just makes our policy stuff so schizophrenic. You know, one day we have this, and then out comes the giant eraser, and now we don't have it. And that's the sound effect, yep. By the way, Claire, for that that's that thing we were talking about.
The swoosh. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. Yep. The old executive order.
Yeah. We've really gone down the rabbit hole.
You know, we're really letting people in on some crack stuff here.
Squirrel stuff, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be trained to know how to do this. You
exactly. There's hand motions to go with it, too. And it looks a lot like what they did in Get Smart, you know, my whole body. And you know, Barney Fife actually sort of did that too, you know, with his whole body being a weapon and everything. It's kind of like that. So as far as how do I ask this? You're a member of the general public, you know, going about their daily life. Who are they watching for threat info? Okay, and we know it's not CNN or MSNBC. So rule those two out. But who should they pay attention to know if these things are real, if it's a concern?
The first place that folks in local communities are going to hear about these things is from their own local media. You know, their local newspaper, their local radio station.
We do not have...
If they have a local TV station.
We don't, you know, out in rural America, and I know that our area is not unique, our newspaper here, I joked about it years ago. I'd go walk the dog on Sunday mornings before we did the show, and the newspapers would be blowing down the driveway because they were like, it was like five pages. It's run by USA Today. There's no local reporting, particularly.
But if it bleeds, it leads, right, as they say?
Yeah, but then it's too late at that point.
If you've got MS-13 gangbangers, creating mayhem in a local community, that's going to make that local newspaper. But beyond that, you know, you can go to other sources. And again, I would mention reporters... experts like a Todd Bensman, the Center for Immigration Studies. I would definitely be on social media, in particular Twitter, where you can look at Michael Yon, Y-O-N, Michael Yon, who does excellent reporting on border issues also. Stay away from some of the mainstream media that aren't going to cover this stuff, but search around your local channels and some of the other channels. I'm going to name a couple. Newsmax is good. Fox sometimes covers this pretty well. They have a couple of good reporters, like a Bill Malugin, for example.
Yeah, that guy's everywhere.
And One America News is another good cable TV channel, if you can get that. But those are the two, from your local level and then on up to these recommended ones.
I would add to that One America News, Right Side Broadcasting, Steve Bannon, and One America News, Right Side Broadcasting, and oh shucks, I forgot the other one. Yeah, I'd be very careful about the traditional platforms. They've all been compromised. Fox News, compromised, in my opinion. But Bannon, One America News, Right Side Broadcasting.
There are a few show hosts that I would recommend at Fox, not morning till night, but a few show hosts, and I guess this is allowed. I am not a spokeswoman for any of them.
Right.
But I would mention Maria Bartiromo, who comes on Sunday morning features on a Sunday morning. She's very good.
Yeah.
I would mention a Mark Levin on both Saturday and Sunday nights now on Fox, and I would also name Seb Gorka at Newsmax, who does a terrific program. So does Greg Kelly at Newsmax. These are exceptions maybe to what you might think of as mainstream media.
Yeah. Well, that's good, because that gives people choices in regardless of where they live. And, it's interesting I know we're not the only state that this happens in, but, you know, in Northern California, a lot of the news comes from Oregon or it comes from Nevada. And we have a special song for Claire going out, because, you know, we want you to enjoy things, and it found a fun CIA song. So, Claire Lopez, Dr. Lyle Rapacki, thank you so much for being with us. And
thank you.
We'll let Weird Al take us out. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's a party in the CIA. Yeah, it's a party in the CIA. I've done a couple of crazy things that have almost gotten me dismissed, like terminate some head of state who wasn't even on my list. Burn that microfilm, buddy, will you? I tell you why, but then I'd have to kill you. You need a quickie confession? We'll start a waterboarding session. No hurry on this South American dictator. I'll assassinate him later. That's when he walked right in my laser sights. And my silencer was on. And my silencer was on. And another target's gone. Yeah, we got a flag up all over the world. From Kazakhstan to Bombay. Paying the bribes like, yeah. Plugging the leaks like, yeah. Interrogating the scum of the earth. We'll break them by the break of day. Yeah, it's a party in the CIA.